You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Bang! Pow! It's Get Action, The Wire's weekly check-in with Action Station Aotearoa.
In March this year, the government made the decision to reduce the benefit for hospital patients who've remained hospitalised for more than 13 weeks. After the 13-week period, hospitalised people would see their benefit reduced to the hospital rate, which is about $55 a week after tax, unless the person has a partner and a child or is a veteran. For this week's Get Action, I spoke to Fiona Charlton, volunteer president of the New Zealand ME Society, who's started a petition calling on the government to roll back the benefit cuts for people experiencing long-term hospitalization. All right, so Fiona, can you please tell us about your petition and what your calls are?
Sure. So we've created a petition because the Ministry of Social Development currently has a policy that after 13 weeks in hospital, a benefit is automatically reduced to a hospital rate, which is $56.58 per week. And this is meant to cover personal expenses. So what our petition is doing and what our calls are to the New Zealand government is to actually end that automatic reduction of benefits and instead implement a case-by-case review process to assess individual needs. And this is to ensure that no one is left without the financial means to survive during their hospitalisation.
How many people in Aotearoa, New Zealand, are currently experiencing long-term hospitalisation?
According to an Official Information Act request, in December 2024, there were approximately 471 individuals hospitalised for over that 13-week period. They seem to track it at a quarterly basis, and what we've seen with the data from March 2019 through to December last year, that there's anywhere between 430 to 485 people each quarter, or perhaps it's even each month, it was kind of hard to tell on the data, that are there longer than 13 weeks. And these are people who are on superannuation, supported living payments and other benefits. So what we know from the MSD website is that the only people exempt are veterans and those with a partner and child. So anybody in any other situation get this automatic reduction.
And what kind of impacts to patient well-being or care can we expect as a result of these benefit cuts?
Well, to put it plainly, it's extremely stressful. If you're in hospital for longer than 13 weeks, you're very, very unwell. You know, you're so ill that you cannot be discharged. But, you know, that doesn't mean that your expenses evaporate just because you're in hospital long term. So the added stress of having benefit cut an unaffordable rate is frankly unnecessary. And we have people in our own community who are so ill that they're non-verbal. And this automatic reduction requires them to fill in forms which require a significant amount of effort. I mean, some of our community can't even lift a spoon to their mouths to feed themselves and are dependent on other people to maintain their care. So how are they expected to fill out these complex forms? So for us, we see these automatic benefits as causing undue stress, unnecessary paperwork, and it's financial instability at one of the most vulnerable times in a person's life.
What has contacting Work and Income been like for hospitalised people looking to contest cuts to their benefit?
Well, according to their website, you can fill in a form, which is that I mentioned just before, it's an increased payment form. And that form, you can request additional finances. But these must be justified by a health professional. And on their website, they state that the form must be posted or handed into the MSD office. Now, how can a hospitalised individual do this? You know, their advice on the website is to ask nursing staff to help the patient. You know, get a nurse to, on her shift after she's done 12-hour shift, pop to the post office. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And how likely is that to occur in our current state of overworked and understaffed hospitals? So there needs to be an online process that can be filled out by the patient and their GP, because obviously the GP has to justify those additional finances. And what we've found for people like Rhiannon that we've mentioned in our petition is that despite sending multiple emails, filling in the form and sending it through, the process is anything but simple.
Why might the hospital rate not be enough for those experiencing long-term hospitalisation?
even when patients are gravely ill and hospitalised for this length of time, it doesn't mean that their financial obligations cease to exist. So these people may have mortgages, rent, insurance premiums, subscription fees, any other living expenses that they might have. These continue to accumulate even though you're in hospital. Those with shared accommodations will still have to contribute to utility bills, even though someone who may be living on their own might be able to temporarily disconnect services. But everything else still goes on, and how can you justify a $56.58 per week benefit when all these financial obligations continue to exist?
And was the original benefit for hospitalised people even enough to cover their needs?
Put simply, no. You know, the accommodation supplement is meant to pay your rent, and it's region dependent. So where I'm based in the Waikato, the maximum you'll get is $80 a week. Now, disability allowance is used to pay for doctor's appointments, supplements, treatments, things like that. But that's only up to a maximum of $70 per week. So for those who are on a supported living payment, their entire benefit, which includes those two allowances, is around $480 per week. Now, if we all know, most rents are at least $400 per week. So it's not economic at all. This doesn't leave much left for utilities, food and healthcare. Now, those on superannuation, they might get double that amount, whereas those who have access to disability services, of course, and we argue that the condition that Rhiannon has that we've mentioned in our petition is ME/CFS, so it's a disability. And people who have access to disability service have access to 30, 40K a year to use on mobility aids, healthcare, etc. So if people who were in this situation had access to that, there wouldn't be this issue. But trying to make do on $480 a week is just simply not enough. People are living in poverty, and that further exacerbates health issues and results in more people being hospitalized.
All right, thank you very much. That was about everything from me, but is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish off?
I just think it's important that the government recognises that there are real people attached to these policy decisions, that it affects lives, it affects the health of people, and that arbitrary decisions and automatic reductions help no one. It needs to be carefully considered and be done on a case-by-case basis, depending on what people's financial obligations are, and preferably not done during the most vulnerable time in their lives. And it needs to be a lot easier, an online process that they can do whilst in hospital.
And that was Fiona Charlton, volunteer president of the New Zealand ME Society, talking to us about a petition of hers calling on the government to roll back benefit cuts to people experiencing long-term hospitalization. If you'd like to sign this petition, you can find it on our.actionstation.org.nz under the name Fairness for the Hospitalized, Stop Benefit Cuts After 13 Weeks. We'll be back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
Wow, important stuff.
That was Get Action on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.